Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and the phone lines are wide open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. We invite you to call right now with any Bible question or personal or family issue that you might be having difficulty with. Again, the number is 844-322-2742. Call now, because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and welcome. It's good to be with you in studio again today.
Thank you. You too.
We're talking about man-made religion and how we need to step away from that to truly embrace the fullness of God's love and grace. And I know we all have stories. We all have religious stories where we just were doing everything that we knew to do. We were trying everything that we knew to try. To be God's guy, to be God's woman, to be right in God's sight, to have this feeling that we were on the right path. And yet all these religious efforts came up short, at least they did in my life. And so we're talking about how to break free from those and really embrace the simplicity of the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, it's hard. Because there are many voices, authoritative voices, persuasive voices that try to keep us bound up in these religious practices. And certainly Jesus encountered that in his ministry, his earthly ministry. He was running into the Pharisees at every single turn, and they were questioning everything he said, everything he taught, everything he did, and always bringing it back to their traditions. Yeah. And saying, hey, this doesn't line up. This doesn't meet with our religious expectations, our religious practices. You are off the rails, my friend, and we need you to stop so that we can keep people doing what we want them to do. And Mark chapter 7 is a perfect example of that. And Mark writes, now when the Pharisees gathered to him, to Jesus, with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. Mm-hmm. Well, it just makes sense to wash your hands before you eat, but they made it a religious observance. You need to do that to be cleansed, to have some spiritual cleansing. And it says in that's according to the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, it goes on. They do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? So that's the key phrase, the tradition of the elders. So these elders had put together some traditions, some teachings. Those had been passed on from one generation to the next and to the next and the next. And people adhered to those religious practices. And Jesus said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now you leave the commandment of God and hold to the traditions of men. So that's what the Pharisees were doing. That's what the religious leaders back in that day were doing. They were holding to the traditions of men. Now, we see a lot of people in today's church holding to the traditions of men. There are many traditions that have popped up along the way. And folks teach those traditions as if they had the same authority that Scripture has. And so they teach them persuasively. They teach them passionately. They teach them with a sense of conviction. You sit there and listen and think, well, they must know something that I don't, and this is necessary for me to do. So I'm going to go down that path. I'm going to stick to these teachings. I'm going to embrace them. I'm going to follow them. And then I'm going to make sure others do the same.
Yeah.
But what are they? They are mere teachings of men. They're the commandments of men. They are not the commandment of God. What is the commandment of God? It is simply this, to believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
That is the commandment of God. And everything, as far as Christianity is concerned, flows from that one imperative, to trust Jesus Christ. That has been the testimony of God since the very beginning, that Jesus was going to come into the world, that the government was going to rest upon his shoulders, that blessings were going to flow through him, that salvation, life, forgiveness, righteousness, wisdom, all bound up in Jesus. He is the treasure of God in human form. And so his commandment is for us to simply trust Jesus. That is God's single commandment to mankind. Yet we overlook the simplicity, we overlook the power, we overlook the profoundness, and we say there must be more, so we make up stuff.
Yeah.
We make up religious junk, and we teach them as if God were teaching it to us himself. He's not. So let's talk about your religious stories, the things that you embraced that you found out were simply teachings of men. They were not true teachings according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what Jesus really, I think, struck here in this particular conversation with the Pharisees was the fact that they were just concerned about external appearance. They wanted to look clean on the outside. God is always interested in the heart. And he said to these Pharisees, "You're hypocrites, first and foremost." What is a hypocrite? Somebody that wears a mask, somebody that hides the real you. So they put on a mask that was as clean and spotless and religious looking as it possibly could be. But their hearts were far away from God. The mask and the heart didn't line up.
Right.
And so Jesus was saying, "I want to strip you of that mask. I want to show you the real you, what your heart is really like, so that you can obey the single command of God, and that's to trust Jesus Christ and have that heart made new." Religion never touches the heart. Only the grace of God can do that.
Amen, brother. Thank you for that, Bob. And friends, thank you for being here for this edition of Basic Gospel. You know, we've said it all along that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported broadcast, and as our thanks for your support right now, we want to send you a copy of Andrew Farley's excellent book called God Without Religion. Discover what relaxing and Jesus means and how enjoying God's intimate presence can transform everyday life. We're sure you'll enjoy learning more from Andrew through his revealing and insightful book, God Without Religion. So when you get a chance, drop by basicgospel.net and make a donation to help us keep the good news coming. And we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of this great book. Again, just donate at basicgospel.net. Well, the phone line is wide open at 844-322-2742. If you have something you'd like to discuss with us, maybe a Bible question, a situation at home, at the office, at school, wherever it might be, well, we'd love to talk with you about it right now. 844-322-2742 is the number in the U.S. and Canada. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
How you doing? This is Bill. I have a question. My question is that in the Old Testament, it talks about how children were given a blessing. Is that still good, or is that still required in the New Testament? That's my question. Thank you.
Well, Bill, I guess you're asking, is it required for us to have children? I'm supposing that you're asking that. But as far as the Bible is concerned, when we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, the command of God to Adam and Eve was this, to be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
So obviously there is a blessing in bringing forth new life into this world. And certainly we've seen that in our family. I know I was just a tremendous blessing to my parents. How about you, Mr. Davis?
I'm sure you were too.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But I know Gina and I, we have three kids, three wonderful kids, Caitlin, Coleman, and Mackenzie, and they have been a genuine blessing and joy in our lives. And we've had this opportunity, Gina and I together, to love them and to serve them and to care for them. And there's something incredibly rewarding about that opportunity,
yeah.
About being able to love them in such wonderful ways, and then to see them grow up and be the people that God created them to be, to watch their personalities develop, to watch their passions come through, and for them to really embrace, you know, what God's put into them as far as their gifts and talents and abilities and skill sets and all of those sort of things are. So, yes, children are a blessing. We see this in Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, or the children of one's youth. Blessed is a man who fills his quiver with them. And I don't think anything has changed. Certainly we see Jesus, as far as the little children are concerned, he says, don't prevent them from coming unto me. And I think that's one of the great blessings that we have as parents of bringing kids into this world, is being able to point them to the Savior,
yeah.
And to see them actually heed those words and receive Jesus, mm-hmm. as Lord and Savior in their lives, and be added to the family of God. So, yes, children are a blessing. We also see in the book of James, every good and pleasing gift comes down from the Father of love, and there's no shadow of turning in him. So anything that comes from God is good and is a blessing to us, and children are certainly a part of that. Children fit into that category. So, yes, they are a blessing from God, and I think if you have the opportunity to bring one in the world, the desire, you're gonna be blessed in doing so.
Indeed. Well, I don't think that my parents really fully appreciated me until I was grown. I did a little thinking on that one.
That's probably the case for me as my parents. Yeah.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we're glad you're with us today. 844-322-2742. And we have this question from Ed. He says, the new covenant was prophesied in Jeremiah 31:31. Some would say that that was a promise to the nation of Israel and therefore is not for the Gentiles. Please discuss this. What is your thought?
Well, we are included in the new covenant. There are certain groups out there that would say absolutely not. That's just specifically for the Jew, for the nation of Israel. But I think Paul, the apostle that took this gospel message out to the Gentile world, was very clear in the fact that he stated that he was a minister of the new covenant, not the old. Why? Because the old kills, but the new gives life. The old was laws written on tablets of stone. This was a ministry of the Spirit of God. So yes, we're included in this new covenant. We are beneficiaries of God's will for mankind. And what is God's will for mankind? That we be changed from the inside out, that we would have the laws of faith, hope, and love written on our hearts. Well, when we come to Christ, that's what happens. We once had unbelieving hearts. Now we have believing hearts. Well, that was God's will for us. As we said, the commandment of God is to trust Jesus. Well, in this new covenant, that becomes a reality for us. We trust Jesus. That's written on our hearts. God has poured his love into our hearts. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 5, and at the very end of Ephesians, it says we have an incorruptible love that is inside of us. So that's been poured into our hearts. We are a part of the people of God. We belong to God. That's a part of this new covenant. We know God. And even more, we are known by God.
Yes.
Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 4. So we are recipients of these promises of God. And then the final promise, the final provision of this new covenant is this, that God has forgiven our sins and he remembers them no more. So we see that throughout Paul's writings, this forgiveness that we have in Christ, in him. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have been translated out of darkness. We've been placed into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So all of these things that are provisions of the new covenant apply to every believer in Christ Jesus, whether Jew or Gentile. So we are new covenant believers. I think that's good news, and I think that's where a lot of confusion comes in as far as the Christian life is concerned, is because we don't know that truth. We think we're stuck over in the Old Testament, and we need to follow these rules and these regulations and that sort of thing, and we miss all the blessings that are available to us or that are ours in this new covenant. So Paul was a minister of the new covenant. Where did he minister this new covenant? Out into the Gentile world. So for the Jew, they stepped out of the old and embraced the new. For the Gentile, we simply put on the new.
Yeah.
That's the way it is for us. And now both Jew and Gentile, we stand together as one in Jesus.
In Jesus. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And friends, thank you for being with us. You know, if there are issues or topics in the Christian life that have you perplexed, we always invite you to call and ask for clarification, either on the live broadcast or by voicemail. That number, of course, 844-322-2742 is open and available right now. But there is another resource we want to remind you of again, where you can find answers to the most frequently asked questions. It's our video archive at basicgospel.net/YouTube, and it's free for you to access anytime you'd like. The latest in the series is a new video by Bob Christopher called How Can I Grow Close to God? And it's a wonderful video. We encourage you to go there and access it today if you can. But you can find it, all the videos, at basicgospel.net/YouTube, and the archive is there, friends, for you. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, and that number, 844-322-2742. And Bob from Eulalie, a question, how should Christians use the Lord's Prayer? She says, my husband and I are attending a church, and his concern is that they don't recite the prayer in the service. Please help me clarify how to use this prayer.
Well, I don't know that it's a prayer that we need to use. I know when I grew up, every Sunday, that's something that we recited as a congregation.
Right.
And it was kind of interesting. You went, you sat in your normal pew with your family, and the same people were around you in their particular pews, and there was a rhythm to the service, and we knew what that rhythm was. We knew when to stand up and what song we were going to sing. We knew when to sit down and what was going to happen then. We knew that there was going to be a prayer from the pastor, and we knew at the end of that prayer there was going to be the reciting of the Lord's Prayer, and you could hear an inflection in the pastor's voice, and as soon as you heard it, everybody on that next downbeat was Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and we would recite it. And
yeah.
There was some blessing to that. There was something meaningful to that practice. But as far as a prayer is concerned, when you read through the Lord's Prayer, you recognize that all the things that Jesus laid out have been fulfilled, have been answered through his death, burial, and resurrection. We have forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, so we can rejoice that prayer has been answered. There's a prayer concerning daily bread. Well, guess what Jesus said about himself, that he is the bread of life. And we have him. We have the bread of life living inside of us. So we recognize that when Jesus was teaching through this Sermon on the Mount, that he had a goal in mind. And that goal was what was going to happen after his death, burial, and resurrection. Right. So everything that he was teaching was going to find its fulfillment at a later date, a couple of years after his teaching of this particular message. So he wanted to dig deep into the hearts of the people and say, listen, your hearts are far away. You think you're obeying the law. You think you have righteousness through that obedience to the law. But the law says, don't commit adultery. But I say to you, if you have lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. The law says, do not murder. I say that if you have anger in your heart, you've already done so. So he was getting at the heart of these people so that they could be prepared to receive what he was going to provide for them through his death, burial, and resurrection. And I think that Lord's Prayer was a part of that preparation, preparing the hearts of the people for a fulfillment, for an answer that was soon to come after he was raised from the dead and when they received him and could actually experience the abundance of life by grace through faith in him.
Yeah. Well, Bob, we have a heart-wrenching question that has just come in, and I think you have it there.
I don't. Can you read it for me?
Yes. This is a gentleman. He's writing. He says, hi, guys. Well, I have horrible news. My son took his life last week, and the thing I'm struggling with is why. I know God never leaves us. My question is, how do I know he knew Jesus, or he did know Jesus, but was he born again?
Well, we don't know, and what you're going to have to do as a father is to just rest confidently in the love of Christ Jesus. And if your son said that he knew Jesus, then we have to go with what God says about that in the Word of God, that anyone who comes to Jesus and receives him through faith is born again, is taken out of Adam, placed into Christ. Christ comes to live inside of them, and they are secure forever. No one can snatch them out of God's hands. No one can snatch them out of Jesus' hands. And when he saves completely. So if your son is saying that he was in Christ before this tragic event happened, then you're just going to have to rest in that, knowing that God knows, and knowing God's mercy, knowing God's grace. That's where you're going to have to find comfort and peace. And our hearts just go out to you. What a horrible thing to experience as a parent, and all the whys and everything that you're going to be asking. Is there anything I could have done? Is there more that I could have done? And you're just going to have to step back and say, the life of your son was not resting on your shoulders. There was a decision there, and if Christ was truly alive in him, we know that the minute he took his last breath, he was absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that's the hope of the gospel, and I pray that hope will be an encouragement to you and will be a guard to your heart and mind as you grieve through this horrible, horrible circumstance.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob. And, sir, we hope that is a help to you. Well, friends, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, and thanks to all of you who support the ministry with your prayers and gifts. We're here every day only because you give to support the message of grace in Jesus Christ, and we deeply appreciate you for doing that. And as you donate, request your copy of Andrew Farley's wonderful book called God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thanks for your love and your support for the message and for this ministry called Basic Gospel. Remember, you can donate now or any time at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us and share the blessing of disseminating this message far and wide. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.